Am I on? Can you hear me? Hello? It is? Okay. And this works, right? This thing right here? Okay. So our pastor, if you're visiting, is our senior pastor, Doug and Pat, are celebrating their 51st anniversary. Is that amazing? He is our senior pastor. He is senior. And so he asked me to preach, and if you could remember as I'm speaking to pray for me, my back is out and I'm a little off, but my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will come through these words and feed you and bless you, and it won't be me anyhow. So that's my prayer. I just wanted to, I got a chair here, so I'm going to sit down. You know, in December, a lot of people travel, see family and stuff like that, and or whatever, get away from the cold, and we did. And, you know, you go to other churches and stuff, and coming back here is just, you know, it's such a blessing. This is so special here. It's unique. It's different than anywhere else. And maybe it's just because of the, you know, the time spent with each other and prayer and crying for one another, Seth and Katie and Eden. And I mean, you go through experiences like that, and we are going to go through that. And on the backside, that little girl is going to be healed, and we're going to remember that. And maybe that's those kind of things that make this church so special. But the Holy Spirit is really here, and he's really loving us, and that's the main thing. But I was really blessed by what Doug was sharing last week, just in, you know, opening up his heart, and he read a verse in Hebrews 13 about remember those who have the rule over you. It's verse 7. You have... And he was speaking about himself as a pastor. And then verse 17 goes along with it. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. And, you know, it just, the way that Doug shared that, it brought me to seeing him stand before the Lord and the Lord asking about each one of us. You know, what about your flock? What about this one? What about, you know, Peter or Dee or just any one of you guys, you know, asking Doug, give an account of that person. Did that guy make it? Did that guy fall? Were you there to pick him up? Were you there to, wow. I'm overwhelmed by that thought. And, you know, God has put him in a position, and I'm really glad to know him. And I know him as a pastor, and I know him as a friend, and we goof around together, and I know that he is serious about his commitment for each one of you guys. And I know Ted as a pastor, and I know he is too. And I know that this command to remember these guys is not just because they have a title, because I know that there's other people in here that pray for our well-being more than anybody. I mean, they're just so for us, and they're unnamed. And God bless you. God bless each one of you guys that do that. So, anyhow, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. I'm done.
Good, sir.
you guys want to go someplace else? We're in Thessalonians. We left off in Not sure if it really matters because I'm not going to go there anyhow. This is hard to do sitting down.
Would that chair be more comfortable because it has a back?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to see me or me you. Is that better? We're going through 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're over in the teens. I think he left off with, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We left off with that verse. The next one, and I'm not going to finish this section. I'm going to go back and do something else, but I just want to give you some context. It says, "Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast," or cling on to that which is good. And I like that verse because just the way I process the Bible is not the way you guys do necessarily. And I'm going to process the Bible here in front of you the way that the Lord has given me some stuff. And it's just fun. I goon out with the Lord. I think about things. And I go, "Oh, wow, that verse is connected to that verse." I go back and forth. I have a fun time with the Lord doing it. And maybe it's more for me than it is for you, but today you guys get in on that, so I'm going to give it to you. But what this verse says is, prove all things. Prove it by the word of God. And what's good, hang on to it, right? Run with it. My sister-in-law called me up about, somebody sent her a video yesterday, and she says, "What do you think about it?" And I said, "Well, that's funny. I was just reading this verse. Prove all things. Take it to the Word. And if it is what the Word says, then hang on to it. If it's real, if it's meat, if it's edifying, take it, hang on to it. And if it's not, you know, maybe it's just not for that time. And maybe it's not from the Lord at all. So dismiss it. I'm writing this down so I don't forget. I want to stop on time, right? So, okay. So, you know, what I wanted to go to was verse 1 and 2. And really, it's past that a little bit, but it says, "But in the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And I wanted to talk about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not a day specifically. It's a period of time. And it encompasses from the rapture, the Lord comes after his church and takes his church to heaven. And there's included in that, there is the judgment seat of Christ. And there's rewards. And during this time, there's the tribulation on the earth for 7 years. And after that tribulation, he comes back and there's a war at Armageddon. And then he sets up his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, there's a Satan is released. There's a war with him, a quick one. There's a word from God. And then there's a great white throne judgment. All that is encompassed in the day of the Lord. It's not one specific time. So with that, I wanted to talk about it a little bit. I mean, God is very merciful in that time period, and he steps out of the confines that he's put himself in. I mean, it's easy for people to say, "Well, you know, there's not a God. If there's a God, show me that God." You know, and we don't see him so much. But if we saw him, we'd probably be different kind of people. We see him in our lives, but for the outside world, they don't see him so much. And he's put himself in that confinement, and he's going to step out of that. And during that period of time, the day of the Lord, he is going to release, he's going to allow, I think it says in 2 Thessalonians, that he's not going to hinder what has been hindered anymore. The supernatural fallen forces that are out there are going to be seen, and man is going to deal with them in a horrible, horrible way, because God is still pouring out his mercy to get that last soul that would answer to the call of salvation and come into his kingdom. It's a horrible time. And if we can, anybody that we come in contact with that the Lord has put in our path, we need to tell them about that time and try to spare them. We talked about earlier in Thessalonians, and it's amazing how many thoughts that Paul puts in these two letters in Thessalonians that we have to examine, that we just can't take and go, oh yeah, I get that. We talked about him coming for his church, and we talked about him coming back with his church, and now we're talking about that in that area that's encompassed in the day of the Lord. All that is in this letter, in this first letter. In his second letter, he talks about the same thing too. I'm leaving. No. Coming back. Sorry. I wanted to talk about why it was called the Day of the Lord. Sorry, kind of lost where I was at. You know, I think there was a cartoon once that it was this guy carrying around the sign that says, Judgment Day is coming, are you ready? Right, do you remember that? I kind of do, and I was trying to Google it, I couldn't find it, but thinking how that went, and the Day of the Lord is so much more than that, because what he wants to do is he wants to have that day of rest, and he wants to rest just like he did with Adam. There was 6 days of his creation. On the seventh day, he said, you know, let's rest. And if you flip to Hebrews, which is just going to the right a little bit, you ever notice that there's 5 books that start with T? 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus are all together, and then after that is Hebrews. Did you ever notice that? It's the way I still remember it. It's, anyhow, Hebrews 4, he's talking about that there is, he's talking about an example of how these guys were led out of Egypt through the wilderness, and then finally, by Joshua over the Jordan River and to that land that they were supposed to have rest in. And he says in Hebrews 4, he says, so if Joshua did that, that they would still have rest, why does he still continue? Why does David continue to talk about rest? And so in verse 7, 4:7, he says, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And that rest, or even the Sabbath rest, is that day that the Lord is hoping to have, he will have. But I mean, he's looking forward to that day. That's what he's speaking about here. And like I said, it's not a day of judgment per se, even though that will have a place in it. But it's a day where God can rest with his people, the people that love him, the people that want to rest with him. It's not, you know, you got to go to church on Sunday and you can't play around. It's not that kind of thing. It's, you know, it's resting with him. I like what, if I can find it, the Pigeon Bible has, the Pigeon Bible is the Hawaiian speak pigeon. And they have the Ten Commandments, and their fourth commandment is, on Sunday, no can do nothing. So, you know, and that's kind of what we grew up thinking. You know, well, Sunday, you can't have any fun. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, it's just a bunch of rules and stuff. But that wasn't what God's plan was. God's plan was, 6 days, I'm going to make this awesome place for you. And after every day, he says, you know, it was good. It was great. This is what I intended. And then on the seventh day, I want you just to hang out with me and rest with me and enjoy this time. And obviously, you know, the story that Adam and Eve, they fell. They sinned, and I wanted to look at that just a little bit. But they ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord said, in the day that you do that, you will die. And the enemy came to him, and he says, did he really say that? In the day that you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. And so they ate of it, and their eyes were open, and they saw that they were naked. Their relationship with God changed in that day. They spiritually died. When you read that, you might pass over it, but we're taught, spiritually, they did die. And you see that in Romans, where it says that Adam brought sin into the world. Our great-great-grandfather, on that day that he ate of that tree, brought death into the world. They died. But if you look past that just a little bit, and this is where I was telling you, you know, prove all things, because this is where my head goes. If you go to chapter 5, you see that it says, let's go to Genesis chapter 5. Every day of those first 6 days, the Lord says, he created something. He says, this is good. And those days were 24-hour days. And the day that they ate it and they died, in that day, that was a 24-hour day. So don't think I'm a heretic when I point this out, okay? In chapter 5, in verse 1 through 5, it talks about, and this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in his likeness of God, made he him, male and female, created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son of his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So here it's talking about a different death, right? He was 930 years, right? Is that right? You guys with me? Okay, so he died spiritually on that one day. 930 years later, he died physically. There's several places in the Bible that say, unto the Lord, a day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And we're going to turn to one here in a minute. It's in Peter. The way I think we understand that is, the Lord has really long days, or maybe 1,000 years is just a day to him, because it kind of goes back and forth, right? But there's another way of thinking of that, and that is, do you guys see that? There's another way of thinking about that, and that is, there's a period of time that is called a day, and that's 1,000 years, and that's what he told Adam. I don't believe when he created Adam that Adam had a lifespan of, he was going to die at some point in time. I think he was going to live forever. I think he was supposed to eat off the tree of life and live forever. And I think that's what we're going to do when we're finally with the Lord, right? But there was a limitation put on man, and that limitation was that day. He died prior to that day, within the confines of that day. I don't know. Think about that. I want to show you some other verses before we go any further on that. There's a verse in Hosea. That speaks, and you're probably wondering why I'm sharing all this too, because it's a little out there, but Hosea is after Daniel. The last part of chapter 5. It's verse 15. And he's talking about the Jews. He says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. Chapter 6 says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn, he has healed us, he has smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we will live in his sight. It's kind of an obscure verse, but if you put that 2,000 years as a day into that, the Jews were smitten when the Lord was with them in Matthew 21. He took the kingdom away from those guys, right? And then after that, in AD 70, Titus came in and destroyed the temple. They were taken captive. A lot of these guys were killed. They were dispersed into the whole world. It wasn't until 1948 that they came back to become a nation. And then when was it, the Six-Day World War was? June of 67. They came back to become a nation. There was this 2,000-year period almost where the Jews were, it says that they were torn, but he will heal us. They were smitten, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And the third day, he will rise us up. When he comes back, he's going to come back and step down on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem and set up his kingdom. And that is the hope that they hope for. They don't hope in Jesus. They hope that God is going to come back and do that, right? That is the third day. Let me show you a different way of thinking about this. I know people are going, you're out there and stuff. By the way, we have a website, and this is recorded, and you can go to the website and listen to it and study it and cling on to that, which is good, and throw the rest away and stuff. But from Adam to Abraham, if you go through that genealogy in chapter 5, and the genealogy with Noah, and the genealogy of Abraham's dad, it's 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus is 2,000 years. And from Jesus until now, it's about 2,000 years. If 2,000 years is as a day, that's 6 days. We're in the sixth day, right? According to that count. On the seventh day, he rested. On the seventh day, that's why this is called the day of the Lord. It's his Sabbath day. That day is almost here. I'm not saying when that day is going to start, because I don't know. I know that when I pray about it, I always feel like it's real soon. I feel like if there's something I got to get right with the Lord, now's the time to get it right, because there's just not that much time. I think that... I think it's important that that Paul in Thessalonians was talking about there's a day of the Lord coming, because he follows that by we're children of the light. But let's go back there. It's 1 Thessalonians, and that's where I wanted to finish up. First Thessalonians 5. He says, I read verse 1 and 2. In verse 3 he says, And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not of the darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are sons of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober-minded. In lieu of what he's saying, right? In lieu of the Lord coming back, in lieu of that day of the Lord, he's saying, let's watch. Watch for what? Watch for him coming back, right? Watch for these things happening. And be sober-minded. And that sober-minded, you know, I think people have, you know, kind of beaten up drinking, you know, enough. But I think it's so much more than that. I think, you know, obviously drugs and stuff. But I think it's to be clear enough that we can hear the word of the Lord and in a way that our life is directed by him and that we can be obedient to him. And whatever that takes to get there, that's where we should remain, where we can hear his voice and say, yes, Lord. That's what sober-minded means. And he says, for they that sleep in the night, they that drink, they that are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're looking for. That is that thing that we're looking for. And with that, we understand he's going to come back and rest with us. That's our goal, is to have that rest. You know, I think we minimize it when we say we're going to go to heaven. But I think there's so much more than that. He wants to set up his kingdom on earth. He wants us to be there. He wants to fulfill that promise that he gave to Adam and Eve to rest with him. It says in verse 11, I want to end with this. It says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. With these words of him coming back and taking each one of us home, spending time with us, comfort one another with that. He loves you. He loves hanging out with you. He loves your thoughts. He loves your heart. He wants the best for each one of you. So Heavenly Father, I pray that what you wanted to make clear in this, that you would make clear, and that you would send us home with that. Lord, we again just commit our lives to you and the hope of our calling, which is you coming back and us seeing you face to face, and we can't wait for that day. Lord, I ask your blessing on these people, and I pray that Doug and Pat would get home safe and sound in Jesus' name. Amen.